This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Well, the New Zealand String Quartet are returning to Aotearoa Dunedin to captivate audiences, I'm sure, with a mini residency in the city in May. Three concerts in all, and we thought we'd find out a little bit more about what is planned. Gillian Ansell, violinist with the New Zealand String Quartet, joins us on the line. Kia ora, good to have you with us, Gillian.
Hello there. And by the way, I play the viola, so it's I'm not one of the violinists. I'm the viola player.
My apologies.
Is the next instrument. Now that's no problem. It's the next instrument down. So there is the highest instrument, the first violin, and then the second violin plays a little bit lower, and the viola plays lower again, and the cello is our bass.
Oh, well, you've anticipated my first question, but perhaps, Gillian, you could tell us about your fellow performers. Who are the quartet at present?
Yes, okay. Well, our first violinist is called Helena Pohl, and she's just celebrated her 30th anniversary of playing with the quartet, so a very long-established member. And then the second violinist is Monique Lappins, and we have sad news. Our much loved second violinist is leaving us at the end of June, so this is actually the last chance people in Dunedin will have of hearing Monique play with the quartet. We have a wonderful new member starting at the end of June, called Peter Clark, and then I play the viola, and I've been with the quartet since it began in 1987. In the beginning stages, I played second violin, and then after a couple of years, I decided I'd love to play viola. When the original viola player announced that he was departing, I put my hand up and said, oh, could I please audition for this role? And that's what happened in the end. And our cellist, Rolf Yelston, has also just celebrated his 30th anniversary of playing with the quartet. And so three of us have been together for a long, long time. So we have a sort of family relationship.
That must be so significant in terms of the way you work together. I mean, it's often the case with orchestras, larger ensembles, that perhaps there's a bit of coming and going on the various seats and so forth, and you might not have a lot of time together to work on particular pieces. But with this opportunity to perform with people over such a long period of time, what would you say that lends to the quality of the music?
Well, one really clear thing is that you can read the physical signals extremely clearly. For, you know, the look of the bow just about to do something, and the look in the face and all that sort of thing. So all the physical aspects of trying to play together, which is never easy. I might say even after all these years, it's not an automatic thing. You've got to always be on the lookout and very much sort of in the present moment and aware. So that's one thing. Also, well, I love the fact that I can learn so much from my colleagues, and I still do. I really respect their musical ideas and their values, and I love hearing what they have to say, and so I've learned a lot from that over the years, and as a companionship and a closeness that I think has developed over the years and has actually improved over the years. So it's really lovely. I mean, it was always good, but it's sort of deeper now with such a deep history together.
Sold out performance at the Regent Theatre when you came through with the Arts on Tour performances in May 2023, so we're very eager to have you back, and you will be performing indeed in the Clarkson Studio of the Regent Theatre for two of the three concerts you're here for. Tell us about those first two.
Well, the first one is an evening concert, and we open with a short piece by New Zealand composer from Auckland, Leonie Holmes, and she's entitled her piece Fragment 2. And it's just a beautiful work, very gentle opening, and with some soaring sort of first violin lines, just sort of beautiful melodies and harmonies, and it's got a, you know, sort of and capturing quality of beauty, I would say. And then after that, we launch into a Haydn string quartet, one of his later string quartets, extremely playful, funny phrase lengths, which sort of bring you up a little short every now and then, but are very much full of wit and humour. So that's a very lively sort of piece. And then we finish with the Debussy string quartet, a French piece that Claude Debussy only wrote the one quartet, and it's quite an iconic work, exciting, beautiful, four different, very varied movements, a dancey second movement with Spanish inflections, a very, very dreamy third movement where we put on our mutes, so all string instruments can, just like brass instruments, you can put a mute on and it changes the sound quality, dampens some of the vibrations of the instrument and changes the colours. So that's a very, very sort of dreamy, impressionist sort of landscape in that movement. And then quite a riveting last movement going through lots of different sort of different scenes in a way before it comes to an exciting presto climax and finish.
And the Saturday 11th of May performance also at the Clarkson Studio?
Yes, that's at 4 o'clock, and we play, we open with a piece by New Zealander Claire Cowan, who's very colourful writing. She's done a lot with the New Zealand Ballet. Hansel and Gretel was one well-known work. She collaborated with Lachlan Pryor on that, and they've created a masterpiece. Well, this is her first time she's written for a quartet, and she's written a work about space, Earth and space, which is called Celestia Terralia, and it has aspects of space. It's sort of based in a way on the idea of the first Russian woman in space. It also has a little elegy at the end to the dog Laika that died in space. And she writes, "We are stardust in the highest exalted way, caused by the universe, reaching out to the universe." That's a quote from Anne Vruyan. And she's used that to set off her piece, which is in minimalist style. So quite a captivating style, like in a way like pointillistic painting. Lots of short notes and popping in and out of the texture, each of us. So it's quite hard to play, actually, but very, very lively. And then after that, we do a late quartet by Shostakovich, is number 14, very dramatic and full of all sorts of different dramas and action. And we finish with a very romantic piece by Brahms. He wrote three string quartets. This is the last one in B-flat major. It opens with sort of horns, so-called horns, it means two of us playing, but like a horn call, and then the others join in, and then there's another little horn call, and then a soft one, and the others join in loud. That's also beautifully lively opening movement, and a very peaceful sort of lullaby-ish second movement. And then the third movement's great fun for me as the viola player, because it's unusually a great big sort of viola solo in the piece. The viola takes most of the melodic line, and that's a very dramatic sort of minor piece in triple time, three time, a dance. And then the last movement's a set of it's a theme with a set of really interesting variations, back to sort of home key of B flat major, and explorative and a bit more restful after the excitement of the third movement, which is, you know, really kind of agitated. So that's our program for those two concerts in the Clarkson Studio at the Regent Theatre.
Right. So those dates are Friday the 10th, the Friday performance at 7:30 p.m., Saturday at 4 p.m, the 11th of May. Those are the two performances at the Clarkson Studio, two quite distinct concerts, and indeed a third distinct concert, Sounds of the Sanctuary, and this is exciting, based, of course, at the Orokanui Eco Sanctuary. This is a second outing of the Sounds of the Sanctuary program. Tell us about that.
Yes, well, we've had three performances of this program so far at Philandia in Wellington as part of the Aotearoa New Zealand Festival of the Arts in March. And It was really a beautiful program. We really loved it. We had a lot of very interesting people come who aren't always big quartet fans, but they wanted to experience the sound of birds in a bird sanctuary, and so that was really fun. So we have two pieces by New Zealand composers. We open with Gareth Farr's Te Kuanga, which means spring, and that literally opens with the sound of a particular tui that Gareth knew in the Marlborough Sounds at his family's holiday house. And so it's literally this one tui that's sang, or maybe many tuis that have the same call. And he transcribed that for the first violin to play. And it's an amazing sound because it just does sound like a tui. And then the next bird to enter is the weka, and that's me, and I on the viola, and that's a really fun thing to do for me. And then another tui comes along, the second violin, this has another tui sound. And before long, there's a veritable dawn chorus of all these birds while the cello is doing other stuff. And then we settle into a bit of a rhythmic pattern, because Gareth Farr, the composer, is also a percussionist, and he can't help but put some sort of drum-like sections in. And he was also interested in the gamelan. So there's sort of slight flavours of that. And there's little sections where we can imagine someone in the bush walking around looking up, admiring the treetops, and then we end up back with the birds again at the end. So it's a very cute piece. And then we do another Haydn quartet called The Lark. So there's definitely the sound of a skylark singing away in that piece. And then we go to Gillian Whitehead's Poroporoaki, which is Farewell, and it's a short piece which also has a delightful bird section with two violinists just on their own, talking to each other through on their violins as birds, which is just very effective, and it's really fun. And then we finish with Dvorak's quartet called the American Quartet, which is one of his most famous quartet, but one of his most well-known, well-loved pieces of all his output. And it was about his time. He was born in what's now the Czech Republic, but he left for a couple of years and lived in New York City, where he was extremely homesick and for his own country and his and for nature as well. But luckily, in the summer holidays, he was invited to a small Czech community in Iowa, in a little town called Spillville, which still has a Czech community today. And he experienced absolute joy of being there in the summer in the countryside, this tiny little town with a beautiful river and a church where he went to play the organ, and lots of birds. And he'd get up very early and go down by the river and listen to the bird song and write melodies on the cuff of his sleeve if he suddenly was inspired, and go home and write them down into a piece of music. And so this piece features in the third of its movements a beautiful scarlet tantril, I think it is, the bird. But the whole piece is just absolutely delightful. The first movement opens with a gorgeous melody, and it's very, very lively and full of the joys of nature. And that this is, he was also intrigued by a passing troop into the town of of some Native American performers who had drummers in their midst and all sorts of other musicians. And they stayed a while, and he was so fascinated he went to every performance they did before they left. And he incorporated some of their music into this piece too. So we hear the drumming and we hear some Native American melodies. And as well as that, he was interested in Black American music. So there's also a bit of some melodies of those in this piece. So it's quite a world music sort of piece in its way. And just incredibly joyful in three of the movements, and so lively and beautiful. We're all great fans of Dvorak, who has his own sort of particular spirit in music. And it's very, you know, it's really just lovely to listen to. So we're happy to be presenting this gorgeous program, which will have a little interval. And anyway, it's really delightful. So we're thrilled to be bringing it to Dunedin too.
Well, indeed, to the Orokanui Ike Sanctuary. And Gillian, I was speaking with Tahu McKenzie, who's an educator with Orokanui Ike Sanctuary, about this upcoming performance. And Tahu said that she's very aware that the forest responds to music at the eco sanctuary. She is aware that the birds take an interest. A lot of them will come closer and take a special listen to it. I don't know whether you've been conscious of that with your previous performances, but it will be quite magical, I imagine.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it will be really, really magical. I haven't actually been there before, so we're all very much looking forward to it and thrilled to have this opportunity to go there. Well, I don't know if the birds at Zealandia were coming near, but it's lovely to, you know, see them out the window and hear them out the window when we were playing. And three of us live in the Aro Valley in Wellington, and the bird life here is really incredible nowadays, due to Zealandia and because it's not far from here, and the increased bird life, sort of more and more every year. And I just sort of think I hear as many birds from our own house as I hear in the bush sometimes, because there's trees all around the house, and there's just, you know, there's kaka here and millions of tui, of course, and just birds flying in and out all the time. And maybe they like hearing the viola practicing.
Indeed.
<I don't know>.
Well, look, indeed, there's very much the same impact from the Orokonui Eco Sanctuary, sort of this halo effect, as it were, of increased bird life and bird activity on the periphery and beyond. And so that's all very exciting too. And it's all very musical, and it's entirely appropriate, of course, that this wonderful performance comes to Orokonui Eco Sanctuary on the 12th of May. So there we are, Friday the 10th, Saturday the 11th, Sunday the 12th, three opportunities hear some beautiful chamber music with the acclaimed New Zealand String Quartet coming to Ōtepoti. You can get your tickets individually for events, and indeed you can get a special deal if you want to go to two or three of the concerts, and I do encourage that too. Gillian Ansell, thank you so much for taking some time to join us here on ORFM. We look forward very much to your visit to Ōtepoti, Dunedin.
You're very welcome, and thanks very much for the interview, and I hope to see as many people as possible coming experiencing beautiful music in these lovely spaces, and very much looking forward to being down your way soon.
Kia ora.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.